Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Mike Chua, physical therapist, certified dementia practitioner, and your alternative career coach. Welcome to our career healthcare podcast and show, where we talk about different ways to find your alternative career and achieve both work and financial freedom. So visit our website, drmikechua.com or alternativehealthcarecareers.com for more information. Again, thank you for watching and listening. Welcome to our show. Be awesome, be great, be excellent, ACG. Have a great day and enjoy the show. Bye-bye. Good afternoon or good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Mike Chua, physical therapist. And yes, I'm your alternative healthcare career coach. Tonight, we're going to be interviewing Matt Wayne of Automotive Anonymous, how to transition from being a PTA to a successful YouTuber. We'll be back in a few seconds, okay?
HelloNote is a truly therapist-friendly practice management solution with integrated EMR that will enhance workflow, efficiency, and patient care. HelloNote reduces error and allows you to spend more time with your patients. It comes integrated with billing. Claims are generated once a note is completed. You can bill with one click and a patient portal, which streamlines the patient intake process. Beautifully engineered and cloud-based for easy accessibility, the software works on all platforms. You can access patient records from anywhere. We also offer 24/7 support. HelloNote is the practice management solution that you're looking for.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, my Facebook friends. I guess I'm live, right? If you're watching live, comment live. Watching on the replay, comment replay, my Facebook friends and YouTube. I'm not sure. Let me go check if I am live. For some reason, I'm not going live on my on the Facebook page. But yeah. Oh, I guess we are live. Thank you very much, Captain David. Appreciate you, brother. You got to check out Uncaged Clinicians, ladies and gentlemen. And then Miss Kathy, how are you? So she's a PTA from Seattle. ¿Cómo está, Bayan? How are you?
Need.com.
Well, you are the biggest star, Captain D. Well, anyway, hey, Mel, Melissa, how are you? You should be taking care of your daughter, right? So, well, anyway, we are here. Before I keep on going, check out medbridgeeducation.com. Use the code ALTERNATIVE, because I have to say this, right? You get 40% discount, not 10, not 20, not 30, but 40% discount if you need continuing education units. Check out medbridgeeducation.com. And, of course, hellonote.com for your documentation system. We personally use that at in our clinic. So Melissa knows that. We use that. We use that for our patients. And Melissa, she's still in D.C. Well, thank you very much, Melissa. You be careful, okay? You guys be careful there. Take care of that, of the family first. So speaking of family, we are supposed to go live around 8:30 p.m. That's our normal time that where we go live on our podcast and our show. But Matt Wayne, a successful YouTuber, has to go take care of family business. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring in Mr. Matt Wayne. He's a PTA turned YouTuber, and we're going to interview him, ask him what prompted him to be a YouTuber. And then now he's got all this crazy following. I checked out his YouTube the other day, and he's got cars, you know, his YouTube is called Automotive Anonymous. And he doesn't even show his face. He's just videoing and the car. And now he's got all this, I assume he's got sponsors in his show. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring in Matt. Matt, could you please tell us who you are? What do you really do? And why become an influencer in YouTube? What happened there, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me and for tuning in. So I have a bachelor's in health science and then a PTA degree. I have been out of PTA school for almost 6 years, and May it'll be 6 years. And I've really loved the field. I originally got into outpatient, and then had a few offers for outpatient when I finished school. But I took a skilled nursing job a couple hours away from home just for the challenge to kind of knock it off my checklist of experiences I want. Ended up really liking it. But over the last few years, since PDPM and just some of the changes that have made more of a financial focus rather than a patient care focus, the stress started to build. I've always really liked cars. One of the cool things that I can say that not many people can is in high school, I bought a supercharger kit from a really good company on a really good Black Friday deal. And over Christmas break with my auto tech teacher, I supercharged my first car. So I've always had the bug for cars and performance, but I've always been very practically minded and trying to put first things first. So over the stresses of healthcare changing, and I have been very just blessed in general. I work for what is still a pretty good company overall. I've always had my hours. I've always had extra PRN jobs and just am probably at the top 10% of the PTA scale in general. I've had a lot of experiences becoming a credentialed clinical instructor. I've had at least 7 students for their 2-month rotations. I've gotten a lot of opportunities through the employers I've had, but the focus changing from patient care has been mentally hard. And after having a year without taking any PTO, feeling like the patients wouldn't be covered and wouldn't be seen when they're in the facility for the rehab purposes, for the most part. Obviously, some are more medically focused, but a lot of them are just there to get physically strong enough to be successful at home. And we lost a PT who resigned, and we hadn't replaced him. And in fact, we still haven't. It's been about 15 months, almost 16 months. So anyways, I didn't have any chance to use PTO for a year. In fact, I cashed out over 100 hours last year just because I knew the patients wouldn't be seen. But I finally took a week off to go on a road trip with my family and to kind of refocus and see where that would take us and everything. My brother has a Model Y performance. That's like one of the fast Teslas, the fastest of the Model Ys, which is kind of an enthusiast vehicle other than it's an electric vehicle. So I know everyone has kind of mixed opinions on that. But I decided to see what it would take to start a YouTube channel. I have my channel named Automotive Anonymous after like a day or two thinking about it, because anonymous in that I don't want to show myself outside of like reflections and stuff like that I won't edit out. But then Automotive Anonymous is alliteration. Maybe that will catch on, kind of like Engineering Explained or some of those other channels that have alliteration in their name. And I actually started my channel on accident. I was just trying to see what the steps were, and then I was going to back out at like the last second once I saw what YouTube needed from me. Didn't realize all you need is a Gmail account and basically put your name and it's done. So I realized that it started. We better run with it and see where it can go. So I started by just doing a few like 1-minute long videos of my brother's Tesla while we were on this road trip. And then I've had an Outback Wilderness for the year and a half or so. I was one of the first people in the country to get one of those. And that's like Subaru's enthusiast version. So I figured like, okay, when I come back, I have some content and I can make some stuff off of my own Outback and some retro reviews of some other cool stuff I've had, like a pretty sweet supercharged lifted FJ Cruiser and a Trans Am I had just recently sold. And then I was going to start to reach out to dealers, which is what I did. And I've had success with some and not with others. In fact, I had a couple say they weren't interested at all today. So things happen and you just take them for what they are and you run with it.
Wow. Wow. That is so amazing. That is so amazing. Did you hear what he said, ladies and gentlemen? This is Matt again. He's a PTA turned YouTuber, and he actually still works as a PTA. That's what he mentioned. And but I just would like to say hello to Home Team. It says there, I find you can help your patients the best if you don't take some time off and take care of yourself. That is so true.
Amen.
That's what Matt did. You know, he had to take care of himself, you know, because you cannot give what you do not have. Just like what he's doing right now. He's reviewing cars, different cars. Of course, you can't review cars if you don't have a car yourself, right? So same thing in taking care of yourself. You can't take care of other people if you don't take care of yourself. And that's what we do at the clinic. We got to know what we're doing first before we can take care of other people. So I like what Matt did. You know, in his downtime, he decided, hey, I think I like cars. Let me just do a quick 1-2-minute video. And then boom. The rest is kind of history. So, Matt, could you please tell us, you do, I assume you do really like cars, right? You know.
Oh, yeah. I love automotive performance. And I've watched what I thought were wasted hundreds and hundreds of hours of watching other people's YouTube videos and just learning a lot of specs and technical stuff, kind of like we do, you know, if you work outpatient therapy and being therapy minded, thinking of like the functional approach to things and just knowing a bunch of information if you're in a setting that uses that. It's kind of stunk working in skilled nursing, where I feel like I use 10% of my education and 90% of how do you convince someone to get out of bed and everything. And how do you be really successful with that? So it's been fun because it's like, I know all this car stuff because I study and I read up and I watch stuff, but it's like, I've had no use for it. And I had no clue that all of those years watching that stuff was hopefully preparing me for what I'm doing now, which as soon as I started, I had to go cold turkey on stopping to watch every single other person so that I don't pick up any of their habits and I develop my own approach. But I think having the therapy mindset has been really valuable in how now that I feel like I have my niche and my routine down and I can learn more things and supplement them on my own as I self-learn what's good and what's not. I watch some other people's channels and realize like they've been doing it for a long time. They're obviously very popular and successful, but it's like, I don't really understand the way that they have their approach. Like it's doesn't appear to be as organized or things like that. So I'm really thankful for my therapy education. And of course, this is all just my own opinion and perspective, but I've done over 100 dealer vehicles now between between what hasn't been posted so far, technically 5 different dealerships so far, and probably have had about the same amount say that they have no interest in even hearing from me. So it is what it is, but it's been really fun and I've learned a lot and I've driven some pretty cool stuff.
I know. I'm just so amazed. You know, I think it's all about how you approach it. The more no's that you get, the more no's, the closer you get to your goals. And this is what Matt is doing, ladies and gentlemen. And same thing when you're trying to find your alternative career, whether you're looking for a new job or trying to get a new position, you know, just keep applying. Of course, you got to learn how to adapt and adjust, change your approach. And I'm sure this is what Matt did. The first dealership that he approached, hey, could I review some of your cars? They probably said no. But of course, when he went to the other dealership, they probably said, yeah, heck yeah, why not? So the more no's that you get, the closer you get to that goal of getting that yes, maybe getting that alternative career or starting your business or whatever, a YouTube channel in Matt's case. I'm like looking at his channel right now. See, Automotive Anonymous. I remember that day, Matt, that you were like asking me, hey, I'm starting this YouTube channel. And then now it's so blown up. And then you've got all these fancy videos now. So, there's a great question here, Matt. So I know you found your niche, you know, doing cars and reviewing cars. You don't even show your face. I know you're using your whatever, your phone or whatever. And then do you have to have fancy stuff or can we just start with our cell phone, man? And then how do you upload this? Do you just record it live or you edit it? I mean, how does this work?
Yeah, it's super easy. So I have an iPhone and I just have a cheap iPhone SE that was like the cheapest one you could buy when I bought it in 2020, just because I'm not super tech savvy and never thought I would do anything like this. And so the first probably 24 videos were all on my iPhone with iMovie, which is just like the free editing app that is automatically on the phone when you get it and everything. And then once I started doing a few videos from the dealers, and I want to mention about the no's and everything. I recently heard the quote that you learn more on your bad days than your good days, which I think is very awesome and true, and unfortunate that that's how we have to learn things. But what's actually funny is the first like 3 dealers I went to are all yeses, and then it's been mostly no's since then, which is kind of interesting to me. But I also get enough content through these 3 sort of high volume, really good dealers that actually have salespeople there that I would recommend and think are good people and everything, that it's somehow it's just all worked out well and everything. But getting back to what I've been using. So when I got offered, and it wasn't even what I set out to ask, and it was the first vehicle I borrowed from the Subaru dealer, is the owner of the dealer asked if I wanted to borrow the Tesla Model S Plaid, which at the time is $130,000 vehicle, makes just over 1,020 electric horse through 3 motors. And I was like, well, I wasn't planning on that, but sure, let's do it. So then I had to like find the specs and go through stuff. And it was like, okay, I cannot be doing this on an iPhone because like I need to like edit this out or delete the videos because there's one that's about performance and one that's about the review, which again was like an on the go winging it type of review. But because of all the glass and the reflection on the speedometer, you can basically see me holding the iPhone while I'm filming, which is not professional, not what I want to represent, especially if it's very, because it can do this in 5 seconds, hit 3-digit speeds and everything, which, you know, again, I want to be very professional with the content. I not have anything that could be questionable on there and stuff, or anything that could, you know, not be illegal, things like that, of course. Mm-hmm. But that was an eye-opening experience. And so since then, I feel like I'm still figuring out the editing thing. I don't think I'm at all good at it in any way, shape, or form. But I use a GoPro, just like a $350 GoPro Hero 10. Paid for the $50 a year subscription that includes unlimited cloud storage, which you absolutely should have if you have a lot of content, because each of these videos is probably like 6 or 7 gigabytes worth of information, depending on if you're forming in 4K or not. And then the GoPro also has a little bit of software on there. So I film it all on the GoPro now, which I have a head mount and I have a few other attachments and stuff for it. And then once you plug in the GoPro, it's connected. You connect it to your Wi-Fi through the app and everything. So once you plug it into charge, it just automatically uploads to the cloud. And then I download it to my phone. I still use that iMovie app because I haven't even put the effort and time into looking at other softwares just because it's been working and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to not kill it to the point that I don't enjoy it. I'm trying to make this still a hobby and just follow what's fun for me. So then I'll make it in the iMovie app, then I'll download it to the phone from the app, which this is all very easy stuff to do. And that's coming from someone who's not tech savvy. And then you just go to YouTube and click the plus symbol that's at the bottom. And if you have a channel, and you just upload it from there. And it's honestly like it's way easier than I ever expected. So none of it's live. And I originally was doing like trying to do like the whole vehicle walk around. So like a 12-minute video with no stop. So if I mess up at 6 minutes, I would just start over again.
Yeah.
And I would usually like, again, not wanting to put too much effort into it, I'd spend like 20 minutes getting all my specs and stuff from all the sites that I know is the legit stuff that I want to use and what differentiates me from other channels and stuff on like talking about the vehicle's weight and like the wheelbase and stuff that most people just don't get into those specs, but some people actually care about them. And it's just been, it's been really easy. Each video I do with that mindset only takes a few hours. I've then gotten to the point that I would do like 2 to 3 minute sections. So then if I mess up one, I would just start that over, which honestly, like it would have been so easy to just cut, like just cut and start over from that point. Which is now finally what I do. I kind of like giving the presentation as like the gift of like, I know everything all up front at once. And I can just at least walk around the car, you know, for 3 minutes, go through all the specs and stuff. But I'm realizing like watching other videos now to see what I can learn from them. You notice a lot of people, their video cuts out and starts up immediately, like in the same spot. And people spend more time editing and putting stuff together. So it's like, okay, if I can sound a little bit more enthusiastic, or like if I messed up a word or something that I care enough to replace, I'll just literally only the last couple of videos I've started to the first few minutes section is a bunch of like 10 to 15 second clips. And then I'll get back to my 2 or so minute walk arounds. And then if it's really bad, I'll start over. But if not, so that's just how I've done it. Not that that's the most efficient way.
So it's more like recorded.
Yeah, yeah, it's all recorded. Yeah.
Well, there's like a great question here, but let me show it here. You know, I may have missed it, but how long did it take you to become monetized? I mean, is there like a limit on the number of subscriber or limit or number of subscribers you need to monetize? Do you need to turn this on? I mean, how does that work? I mean, I don't know, man. I just do this and then somebody puts it on YouTube and that's it for me too. And all I know is I see my money, some money in my bank account. So how does this work, man? I mean, yeah. For me, I've been doing this for a while. So I know there's money coming in, but I'm like, how does this work? So,
yeah. So, I Googled it, and of course, Google's a search engine, so they're going to pull up what other people have said on other websites as like the top answer sort of thing. It's not like this is the word of God by Google sort of thing. Google, I think, said it was like 22 months is how long it takes the average channel to get monetized, which I don't know how to feel about that. I was hopeful, like, what if I can do it in a year sort of thing? And then the first few months, you know, are so slow where it's like 5 subscribers this week and 10 the next week. And eventually it was like getting 3 a day and then 7 and 12 a day.
Subscribers? People actually subscribing? I mean, do they have YouTube channel too? Or
they don't have to have a channel where they post stuff. They just have to have the account, which all you need for the account is, again, blows my mind how easy it all was. But you just have to have a Gmail and basically say, this is my Gmail address, and then this is the name I want to present on it. And then you pretty much click make, and it's there.
Just and like so Facebook? Or?
Yeah, probably a lot easier than that, though. So you don't have to have your own channel. You just have to have the account sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it took 5 months. It was that after that post, beginning of January, where like 90 people must have, like, it's hard to know how many were car people, which I was getting like 12 a day. So I had posted, I'm like a week out from hitting monetizing, and this is so cool, and all this stuff. It only took 5 months of hundreds of hours and hard work, you know.
But to be honest, man, our channel, I think, is we only have like 2K. That's the reason why we're monetizing it. But I mean, I've been trying to promote it, but nobody, for some reason, we got like thousands, 40 something followers in Facebook, but I just can't get any followers in YouTube. They only have like 2 something, 2 whatever. But we are monetizing it, but not as you and, you know, Tony. You know, Tony Maritato was like 30,000, I think.
Crazy.
And I know this other guy, another Filipino therapist, he's got hundreds of thousands. I'm like, where do you get those just followers? So, and then he's like selling creams and everything.
So it's crazy. And I get basically 6,500 to 9,200 is like the max, 9,300 maybe views a day. Apparently in the analytics, though, only like 3% of people who watch my channel have actually subscribed. I'm assuming, you know, maybe a third of them have a channel at least, but only 3% are my subscribers. So I'm probably not the person to ask yet on that. Like, I feel like the content has been getting better, but the percent of people that subscribe hasn't really increased much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because once it's monetized, which to finish answering that, you need 1,000 subscribers, which for me took 5 months.
Wow.
That was 2 months ago. Now I'm at like 2,200. So it's gained like 500 a month for the last 2 months.
Wow.
Sorry, since that point. And then you need 4,000 hours watched. And I hit that, I think, after like 2 or 3 months. I don't know which number sounds harder for new people, depending on your content, but where my videos are pretty long and the average watch time is like 4.5 minutes, which the longer, the better, you know, the more ads people watch for it to be more profitable and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also like, that hopefully will come as my content gets better. And again, I also don't know what average is, because about a third of those, you know, 7,000 to 8,000 views a day watch my whole video. A third of them drop off after 30 seconds, maybe after they see if it's what they were actually looking for or not. Mm-hmm. And then the other third drop off somewhere between the, you know, probably the first minute and the 8th or 9th minute of my 12 to 18 minute long videos. And I don't know what average is. Like, I don't know what the best channels do, if they're a lot better or if they're just a little better. I have no idea. But it took 5 months to be monetized, only a few months to hit the hours watched. Now I'm sure it has 30 or 40,000 hours watched, because it gets like 500 hours on the average day, if not better. But what makes the money is people watching the ads on there. So, and then the ad rate is going to be different for everyone, because where are people watching in the world? How many ads are they actually watching of your video? What surface are they watching it on? Like, if you watch on a computer, I think you have those like bumper and ads like underneath the video and on the side and stuff like that. Those technically count. And that's apparently like 30 or 40% of the ad revenue I get. Yeah. So I think that's better to like for the owner of the channel, if people watch on the computer versus the TV, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But and then the rate is going to vary. Only 65% of the people who watch my channel apparently are in the US. 10% is in Canada, like 1 or 2% in Russia. And then another 1% like in 20 other countries like Europe and other places. So what ads are present to them for how much they pay? My rate per 1,000 views is slightly higher than what the average is. The average Google says is $3 to $5 per 1,000 views. Mine's like in the mid fives. So I mean, that seems to be better. But then I've heard like some other channels that talk about finance and stuff, their rate might be 4 times that, like crazy, because the people watching those videos might be more risky investors and more willing to spend money on stuff that sounds appealing. But I mean, I can't complain. For me, this is just a hobby, and not going back to school because I thought I was going to go back for the doctorate, like after a year of being a PTA, and then the market changed and realized like maybe that's not what will make me happier. So in my mind, this is like going back to school, and it's like instead of having to pay a bunch of money and spend a bunch of time, I'm giving a bunch of time, but I'm learning at my own rate, and I'm actually getting like paid almost like an apprenticeship or something, which it's crazy. And I don't know like who's watching this or how much to share and stuff, but and it does, it blows my mind because like it hasn't happened yet. So it's hard to even believe that this is like feasible. But based off of this real apparently pretty accurate Social Blade website, it projects that I'll hit like over 6 million total views over this year, which at the current rate is potentially 30 grand on YouTube, which who knows, right? Who knows? And then it projects that next year it would make like 16 million views. So next year, 16 million views would replace my full-time really good PTA position if I were to actually get out of therapy. And then after that, it's, you know, six figures of income, crazy. Like, so who actually knows? Like,
I'm not
counting chickens before there's even eggs, you know, eggs in existence. But
it's funny you mentioned that. So my friend and I, Bert, he's like my mentor, and you know, he's the one who taught me all this business that I'm doing. But he has a friend who is actually a physical therapist in Texas. He doesn't work as a PT, and he does what you call this? Alarm reviews. He reviews those Ring camera.
Just
security cameras, man. And that's it. He doesn't even show his face like you. And just security cameras. And so him, Bert, and this guy, the other PT, they went to a security camera convention or and everything. And this guy, he's making millions, man.
Wow.
He doesn't even work as a PT. He's making millions already. And this camera people, they give him, you know, and they will send him stuff, free stuff, and he will just review it in this video in his camera. I forgot his channel, but he's got like thousands and thousands of followers. And man, if I can do that, right? So, but it's just amazing. And I scrolled down on his YouTube, you know, the very first videos are like very bad videos. Now he's got all this fancy camera, obviously, because people are sending him cameras, but that's what he does, security cameras. Just, you know, Ring camera, whatever camera. Not the picture DSLR, but just the security cameras. It's just amazing. So, man, I mean, if he can do it, you know, you're on your way, man. You're on the right track. Let's go to your – look at this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to scroll down. This is his YouTube channel. And I know, man, you're leaving. Let me know when you're leaving. Look at all these reviews that he's done. You guys can see my screen. You know, Crosstrek versus CX-30 review. 1 week of ownership. What was, you know, the MX-5. Man, I've been wanting to drive a
Miata. Paid for by the channel.
I know, right? So, you know, obviously, WRX there. Subaru. Are you a Subaru guy, man?
I didn't think I was, but that's not all my videos.
Look at that Ford Bronco. I haven't even ridden on this cars that you have here. So, I mean, there's a lot of videos that he's this picture here, man. Did you just take your camera here, your cell phone?
Yeah, these I just do with my cell phone, and then I just download like a free thumbnail app and write them. But you can see like the car is positioned about the same on every video, as long as I got a good picture of it, and my captions in about the same location. So just trying to like kind of brand my style.
Do you have like a screen here, or you just take a picture at the same spot all the time?
Yeah, I just find a different farmer's field each time, depending on which dealership I'm around, for which part of the country I'll go out to that's on that side of town. Yeah, I'll just find a farmer's field, like of a few different places, and take my photo.
Look at that. You know,
but yeah, it looks
parked,
the same.
Yeah, you're right. In the farmer's field, and then this specific angle, and you got it, you know? So on that, whatever, 45-degree angle, right? So
I am it is feeling like it's getting to the point to where I can feel how this could feel like a job and be like stressful and stuff like that for someone doing it full time. So I'm totally just trying to enjoy it as a hobby, and I don't want to get out of therapy yet. Like I'm frustrated with what it's becoming because I care so much about the profession, and I care more about the profession than my own position. Heck, I've even been a rehab director for 3 months before I resigned from another building when we had a new administrator come in the week after I accepted the position. And he wasn't even licensed to be an administrator, but he was writing off of someone higher up's license. And census added 50% within a month, and it was not appropriate. And like, realized, like, I'm talking to a brick wall. He's not clinically minded. I have to get out of here before something happens. Like, so like, I care more about the profession than my own job because I think I'm good enough that I will, like, if I'm meant to do this, I'll find it. There'll be another door open to me, but I'm not doing something I don't think is appropriate. That's me too, man.
You know, I could do this all day long, but I still go back to my first love, which is, you know, therapy. I mean, I do this, I do the interviews, I do the podcast, I teach a class, I do a CEU class, I would travel and speak for a living. But I still go back to my first love, which is, you know, treating patients and evaluating in my case. So yeah, you're correct, you know, because that's really just our passion too. So,
and I work correct. 4/10s Monday through Wednesday, and then Friday. So Thursday, and then sometimes Saturday is when I spend time filming. I'm planning to probably, I have one more student coming to work with me for 2 months. And then after the student's gone, I'm planning to drop Friday now that the channel has basically covered a day's worth of work just about. So then I can, because it's kind of stressful for me to like come back Friday, because it feels like I have a second Sunday night where I start to like get anxious about having to go back to work. And then sometimes like the caseload that I get given on Friday doesn't always feel fair and stuff like that. But then I could look forward to like doing 3 days a week of long 10-hour days of rehab. And then I can look forward to doing YouTube, and then I can look forward to time off for the weekend, and then I can look forward to going back to therapy and knowing that I'm not fully dependent on either position, which that will be cool. Because even if this, like, who, like, those numbers blow my mind, like, it's hard to believe that because it hasn't happened yet for what is projected with the channel. And, you know, it's just an algorithm anyways, but it's just cool because it feels like I'm free. It feels like I have opportunities to, like, not be so stuck to a building that is not doing things that might seem appropriate. And it just feels like there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm doing something I really like.
Freedom, and man. I mean, it's freedom.
And just realizing, like, I just want to do a few videos a week so I don't make it feel like too much work. You know, it still is going to get 20 hours a week put in, even doing a few videos, just because of all the time on the comments and researching and trying to find what is relevant, but also doing what I want. Like there was, I did one of my most recent videos that hasn't been popular at all, which I knew wouldn't be, was the 2011 Cadillac CTS-V. That was like a 600 horsepower Cadillac sedan. And that was the Cadillac CTS-V when I was in high school. So it's like, I've always wanted to drive one of those. And it's like, it's 12 years old. It's not relevant. If you want to watch a video on that, or even the Plaid, which again, I drove it during the year it came out, you'd think it's relevant. But it's like, if someone wants to watch that, they're going to watch Haggerty or Motor Trend. They're going to watch like a legit channel that has really cool editing and stuff. And I get that, because I'm not going to watch a little channel on that car. I'll watch a little channel on their honest perception or perspective of a review, which is what I've realized on mine is successful. But it's like, I drove those cars because it was an experience that I otherwise wouldn't have had. Heck, one of the new ones who doesn't really, isn't as familiar with me borrowing everything at this one dealer. She said that she was going to have to ask the manager because they're not even supposed to drive that Cadillac. But it's like, that's a car I've wanted to drive since high school, and I can go do it without pretending like I'm interested to buy it. I can just say, hey, is it cool if I review this? And it's almost always been a yes. Wow. From those that have approved of me. You know,
that's amazing. It's just mind blowing. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we forget that there are so much opportunities out there, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what Matt is doing right now. I know, Matt, you're about to leave and you got a family thing to go to. But let me just show some of these questions here real quick from Kathy. How do you increase your followers on YouTube without having to pay for subscriptions? I have more followers on FB than YouTube. I think that's me, Kathy. What kind of content will attract viewers or followers? Those are great questions, right, Matt?
I think so. I don't think paying for subscribers help any, like maybe on a different platform if that's how you get paid, but on YouTube it doesn't. Like, you could stay at 1,000 subscribers, never gain another one, and who cares? Like, if somehow you get millions of views, or if you have 1,000 subscribers and you have a one hit wonder video that people watch ads on, it's like that could be your whole life right there. Mm-hmm. More subscribers helps because it's more of like a guarantee that you'll likely get more views going forward with each video. But you need to have people who actually want to watch your stuff. Because I'm realizing, like, my channel is, like, 2,200 subscribers and, like, 7,000 views a day on average during the weekdays and maybe 9,000 on the weekends. Apparently, that's more views than some channels that have five times more subscribers. Yeah. And I'll notice in the comments, there are so many consistent people who I've never met who are always watching every single video I post. And that's really cool. Like, I'd rather have... You know, by the end of this year, it's projected to have 10 or 11,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have 10 or 11,000 who actually care about, for some reason, care about my opinion or with my experiences having driven so much stuff. You know, you actually see that you notice differences that you otherwise never would notice hopping in different cars. But I'd rather have people who care and watch consistently because I feel like I'm apparently offering them something of value than just if I was like, you know, more popular, better looking, whatever otherwise could attract, you know,
you're better looking already,
follow you. But like, so subscribers don't matter for making the money. I think you just want to have like a genuine following. And like, I'll watch, I'm starting to watch them again, now that I'm watching other people, but like, I really have always liked that dude in blue, his channel. He has over 1 million subscribers and he literally only does project cars. That's all that he films. And his videos don't get very many views, but he looks like he's having a lot of fun doing it. And then I'll watch another guy who he has a little bit of an arrogant attitude. He kind of reminds me of my older brother, who is very smart, very successful, also has a little bit of an arrogant attitude, and they look very similar. But there's this other channel called Street Speed 717 who, again, looks like my brother. He has some incredible cars and he'll post just as often as that dude in blue, but he'll get 10 times as many views. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like some of it for me, it's like, it's kind of like a love hate thing. Like, you kind of just want to know what he has to say because he's like so outgoing, but he's also kind of arrogant and stuff. But it's like, for some reason, you're attracted to that. I'm attracted to that personality, and it feels like it's my brother, sort of. So it just depends. Every channel is so different, and it seems like there are some ideas that work really well, and I could give you the things I wish I knew that I didn't look into because I wanted to make it my own and figure it out myself. But there are definitely a handful of tips that I would share for if someone's going to make one, what you should do when you start, that are better than what I just did on a road trip.
Wow. You know what? I like to answer that too, Kathy and Matt, because you don't want to pay for those subscription. Why? Because those people who will subscribe, they're not really your audience, and it actually dinks you. It gives you a negative remark on YouTube that you have subscribers, but they're not really watching. So you want those genuine subscribers who will really watch you. So you would rather have 1,000 loyal subscribers and watching you versus 1 million and they're not watching you, and then it affects your quality of your channel. And I think that's what's happening with us. I ask, hey, subscribe on our YouTube in our Facebook group, but nobody's really watching it. So because they watch most of the time either on our podcast or in the Facebook group. So what kind of content, I guess Matt already answered that question. Basically, just find that specific niche and then you'll attract those same people that you're attracted to. So you're correct. That's true, Matt. Yes. Matt, I know you got to go. Well, you're welcome, Kathy. And somebody's encouraging you here, Matt. You're posturing up and doing it with confidence. Great job. You keep it up, Matt, okay?
Thanks.
Matt, can I mention one more thing? Wisdom? I know you're about to leave and go to a party or something. Any last parting wisdom or knowledge for the people who wants to start their own YouTube channel and monetize it and make money and everything like that?
Yeah, if you don't mind, just real quick to build off of the last thing that you said, Mike. Yeah, you absolutely don't want to pay for fake subscribers because YouTube's probably smart enough to detect that, and you don't want to like lose the opportunity to eventually monetize your account if you have all these red flags and stuff that pop up. You need to be careful of that. And then, yeah, with building your own audience, like I started with a bunch of my Subaru Outback Wilderness stuff just because I bought one in September of 21. I was one of the first people to have one of those. And so my Subaru following is really big. It's so crazy to me that I'll post a new Subaru video now, and if it's a half decent one, like those last couple comparisons, I get over 1,000 views per video in the first day. But I'll post something that I don't have the audience for, like my most recent Bronco video that only has probably a few hundred, because apparently my audience doesn't care about that. So not many of them have watched it and liked it, and it's been shared and stuff. But the things I would say,
a lot of Bronco users now, or just because you're in the
Subaru? There's tons. They've sold over 100,000 last year, but that's not my audience apparently. Oh, so to build right, that audience, I would probably have to do more Bronco videos and share them so that like there's more Bronco stuff. So people who just so happen to stumble upon one will then find it and realize like, oh, I have other Bronco videos. Then maybe they'll subscribe so that they can remember to watch more of mine later if they liked my style and realize there's more applicable stuff. But apparently most of my followers who are the Subaru people don't care for the Bronco is what I'm detecting based off of a Subaru video gets 1,000 views in a day. A Bronco video gets 100. So
cool. I see that. So you got thousands and thousands of views on your Subaru stuff, you know, 1.9s and stuff like that. But your Ford is like 400 something. I wish I could get at least 400. I don't even have like one or two views in my YouTube stuff.
If I was going to start the channel knowing what I know now, I really wanted to do it without putting a single dime into it, which is why I had the iPhone for far too long before I getting the GoPro and everything, just so that it wouldn't feel like I'm putting more money into an education. That's what college is, you know. But I would say have good thumbnails. So that's just like an app you can download to where you can make an appealing looking image. Because if it's some random cover image, you know, if it's not attractive, people aren't going to watch it. And I'm still struggling to get a higher impression click on rate of more than like 5 or 6% are usually my good ones. So do that. I've also heard since watching a video on how to grow your channel in the last month, now that I'm finally watching other people's stuff again, is maybe make like 5 videos before you have a channel. So then as soon as you start your channel, you can immediately upload all 5 videos that are slightly different, but a similar theme, so that you can see what's popular. And if someone does stumble across one, it's not like, oh, this is their only video, why would I subscribe to that? But if they can see, oh, there's a few videos and they're new and they're coming out, boom, 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 then maybe I'll subscribe to that. And then you can also see what direction, what preferences people have for whoever randomly found one of your videos. I'm still working on this. Like the GoPro's microphone is so much better than my phone. It has 3 microphones. So it does a really good job cutting out wind noise. Where I live in Idaho, there's way too much wind during this time of year. And that really hurts quality. I've heard audio affects people continuing to watch more than visual quality.
Yep.
I probably at some point need to look into legit microphones, but the GoPro has still been good, and I'll just try to like cover the wind with my body and stuff like that.
How about like a lapel microphone?
Probably would be way better than the GoPro, yeah. I'm sure. I know it even has like a plug-in option you can do. I've really not put that much time and effort yet into the quality of the videos outside of my own presentation quality. But as far as equipment, I've still been kind of fighting, like, let's see if this will be successful before I invest so much. Like, I saw a video a few weeks ago by one channel that probably is smaller than mine. And the guy was saying that he invested like $4,000 into all this equipment and even paid someone to edit it. And it got like no views and stuff. And it's like, I don't want to, like, again, I don't want to go through college again. I want to just see if it's successful. Heck, in the car world, one of the biggest channels is Doug DeMuro. He has 4.5 million followers. Wow. And I'm pretty sure he basically still uses an iPhone. Like wow. He does a little bit better than that. Doug DeMuro. Okay. But people like to watch him because he has a fun presentation, but it's like, he does not do very good editing or very much editing. Like, it's very basic. So it's like, that shows you don't have to have a lot if people
he doesn't even have a very good thumbnail. He's just like standing up in a car and then doing this sign here.
But that's I think his trademark.
Thumbnail is just basically a thumbnail from the video.
Yeah, that's like his trademark is like he starts presentations saying like this and does like that hand gesture. Yeah, but it's like we like to watch him because he's for some reason he's just really interesting to watch, but he does not do much editing and stuff. And it's like I don't want to copy anyone's technique, but I am also like opposed to like setting like I read so many things about people having six figures of debt for therapy school to not make six figures in their profession and to be living paycheck to paycheck in debt. And I'm very like Dave Ramsey, like don't owe on your cars, you know, pay off your house as fast as you can, stuff like that. That it's like, I don't want, like, I just want to see if it works. I just want to like, in fact, the GoPro that I got was like my birthday Christmas gift sort of thing from my parents. Like I really did not want to put anything into it and just see if I could do it unqualified, unskilled, and just figure it out as I go. And it's so crazy to see that.
Wow. It's
made a couple $1,000s so far. It's yeah, we'll see where it goes, but you don't need much to start.
So what's the next step for Matt and Automotive Anonymous? I mean, get some sponsored ads. I mean, I think what you need to get is some sponsored ads from those dealerships that you're talking to.
I've done one product review. I've like every week or so I have a company reach out to me. It's mostly stuff that's not applicable to me or that I'm interested in. But we'll see where it goes. Like, I don't want to, like, again, I know it would be unwise to not like look at every opportunity, but for right now, just earning from the ads and figuring out my routine even more and just getting more confident in it and building my repertoire of understanding and stuff, I think is really good. And again, this first year for me is just practice and my mindset, and maybe I'll take the business side of it more seriously.
So this next is just year. The first year, huh?
Yeah, 7 months in.
Wow.
I will say, like, it sounds like the money you make from the ads, which is my only source of income from the YouTube, is the lowest one. Like, everything else you can do, you can make way more on YouTube. But it's like, for me, I'm just trying to have fun and I'm just trying to, like, build a quality videos that are actually helpful to people. And I'll figure it out later. But it's not my, obviously, like, I have a really good PTA job and two PRN jobs. This is just a hobby / part-time job that I'm seeing if it could eventually be maybe full-time, and then therapy could be one day a week someday. The dream is, what if my channel becomes one of the ones where a big manufacturer flies me out to Vegas to test drive a car on their racetrack and I get to give my opinion of it? That's what the goal is, but we'll see what happens in a few years.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm excited for you. You keep it up, all right? But before I let you go, ladies and gentlemen, where did that go? Well, thank you very much again, Matt, for all those wisdom that you've given us. I'm so excited for you, for all the things that you've been doing. So you keep it up, man, okay? But before I let you go, always remember the word fast, ladies and gentlemen. Letter F, find people that will bring out the best in you because you are the average of the five people you hang out with. So today, I hang out with Matt. I feel like I want to be like a YouTuber now. So YouTube, you know, whatever you call that, right? And review cars, right? All right, gosh, I wish I could review cars. Next letter is like, you got to learn how to take action, all right? All this stuff that we're doing is not going to do me good. It's not even going to do Matt good if you don't take action. Action is the key, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, his videos is not perfect. He's doing his videos in his phone. You saw he's got a phone. He's doing using his phone. He's got this headset and everything. And you just have to take action. And that's what he did. He took action in learning along the way. And next letter is letter S, is share and subscribe. No, share and subscribe. You know, you got to learn how to shoot for the moon, because if you miss it, you're going to be landing with the stars. Keep shooting for the moon, ladies and gentlemen. And then eventually you will land with the stars, just like I landed today with Matt. You know, I'm learning from him. And last but not least is letter T, is teach it. Why? Because when you hear it, you forget. When you see it, you remember. But when you're actually teaching it, you're actually understanding the stuff that you're wanting to learn. So again, thank you very much, my Facebook friends. Before I let you go, Matt, thank you very much. I appreciate you. But before I let you go, we got to run this Facebook ads too. So,
HelloNote is a truly therapist-friendly practice management solution with integrated EMR that will enhance workflow, efficiency, and patient care. HelloNote reduces error and allows you to spend more time with your patients. It comes integrated with billing. Claims are generated once a note is completed. You can bill with one click and a patient portal, which streamlines the patient intake process. Beautifully engineered and cloud-based for easy accessibility, the software works on all platforms. You can access patient records from anywhere. We also offer 24/7 support. HelloNote is the practice management solution.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Check out our website at drmikechua.com or alternativehealthcarecareers.com for more information. Again, ACG, be awesome, be great, be excellent. Thank you, and hope to see you on our next episode. Goodbye.